Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Celebrity Circle coverage. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I am here today with Pooya. How you doing, Pooya?
I'm doing lovely, Taryn. What a week it's been for the Circle. What a next couple of weeks is going to be for more Circle. It just keeps giving, and I'm going to keep receiving. It's a great time to be a fan of the Circle.
Yes. Yes. We are going to be talking about the finale, the last two episodes of the Celebrity Circle UK here. And what a fun show this was, Pooya. How this was, I really enjoyed this little six episode show.
Yeah, I mean, it was a week. It felt like there was a lot going on. At no point was there any boring segments. There was no slowdown all the way to the ending. I think I was, edge of my seat. I had a lot of fun with this. And, usually with a celebrity season of any show, I kind of take it with a grain of salt because I'm like, these people don't need to do this. Like, they're better off like living their lives. They're here for like the publicity. I genuinely did not feel that way with the Circle whatsoever. This was awesome.
Yeah, Ethan in the chat says, I wish it was longer. And to some degree, I agree. But at the same time, there's another part of me that was like, you know what? That was just a nice little size. Like, came in, got out before I got tired of it. I don't know. I kind of liked it.
Yeah, and I think that if it was any longer, then they might have been running on fumes a little bit. I think given the fact that it was shorter like this, it was a quick burst. They got to do everything they wanted to do. I do think if you talk to Rachel, like the two of them, Pete and Sam, like they might have not ended up being okay after if it was even a week longer. So I think ultimately they found a sweet spot. But as far as broadcasted episodes go, I did miss it. I will be missing it. And I feel like I was just getting to know these celebrities. So,
yeah, I definitely would feel differently if, like, I don't feel like I'm done with the Circle. And so the fact that season three proper is starting today, just a couple hours after we record this, is definitely, I think, why I feel like it was a nice little bite-sized appetizer for like the full course meal. If we had just gotten like a 6-day season and then it was like, see you next time. I would have been like, why?
Yeah. And I'm very happy they did the rollout in the order they did. And they went celebrity first, then civilian. Because I think if it was all the way around, I would have been a little bit more upset probably just because, there wouldn't be that like that excitement would just finish. It would just peter out. So I do think having 3 weeks of civilian Circle right after, that's the longer format. That's the more familiar format anyways. So it was great because I'm telling you, like just watching this last week got me pumped for that. I've actually been seeing clips of season one and two back on my timeline. Those reveals were great. So I've been loving seeing that nostalgia. I've been very happy with this. And based on the way they phrased the winner of the first season of the Celebrity Circle, I think this isn't the last time we're going to see this happen.
Yes. I'm excited. I feel like if you haven't seen the cast video yet for season three, check it out or don't, since the episode will start soon and you'll find out very soon anyway. But I'm excited. The cast looks fun. I think we're going to be in for a good time over the next few weeks with season three. But let's talk about what we saw in the Celebrity Circle, as last time we saw that the GC, Gemma Collins, had been blocked from the Circle, and by near unanimous votes, and Gemma was having to choose who are they going to go and visit on their way out, and we are going to see that ultimately they are going to choose Big Nasty to go and visit, who of course is actually Lady Leisure. Is that how they're pronouncing it?
That's the way they pronounce it. Yeah.
Okay. And she's going to be hiding behind a photo of Big Nasty.
I did love that scene of her because like she was boxed out well. So when you came in, you might not have seen her, but this was a great exchange. I felt like they picked the right person. It was great to watch them exchange information and hear more of what Lady Leisure's picks are on who's a catfish, who's not a catfish. Spoiler alert, she was 0 for 0. She was wrong on all the ones she's predicted here. Said she thought Peter's real, Saffron's a catfish, Denise is a catfish.
Yeah.
So that was, I loved seeing this, especially I loved seeing this. It was great.
Every guess they could get that she could get wrong, she got wrong. And so There's a little bit of an interaction here. Of course, Big being the only one that stood up for Gemma. They were like, well, we'll be rooting for you. We see here, and this is, I think, this was like, very key for Big Nasty, that, she is going to go, you know what? I was wrong. Guys, I am so sorry. I was wrong here. And you thought, based on the last recap we did, when we stopped down at episode 4, it was like, there's no way that Big will have any chance to win this game at this point, because Big is going to be the person that everyone goes down on. But this interaction changes everything. Big Nasty comes out. I'm so sorry. I feel like a total idiot. I got this so wrong. Will I Am comes in. Best defense is a good offense. Goes in on Big Nasty. Yeah, you got that one wrong. Why'd you tell me to go the other way? Trying to kick someone while they're down, it's not a good idea.
No, and I think that last week, when we talked about this on Saturday, I definitely felt like, you know, I had Big Brother on the mind. We've been watching that show. And I was like, okay, definitely the move now is to go after the weak one, go after the one that just exposed themselves. But in this scene, I was reminded, you know, the circle, everyone's playing the social game. So everyone's good. If you apologize, everyone's just going to embrace you because they want your good ratings. They're like, hey, this person's on the outs. Let them give me their one first place rating. So everyone else forgave. Even Saffron was like, listen, I don't trust it, but I will take it. I will take this apology. That works for me. Will I Am, though, is on the other side of the coin, where Will I Am just was, you know, being wishy-washy the whole time. So they're like, let's make a stance. And the right stance is to make the stance that everyone else is probably going to make. Let's trash on Big Nasty, which I think comes to show not a good move for them, given that everyone else was being nice about it.
Yeah. These two felt to me like they were just having fun trolling in the game, like the whole time, between the like cycling through their votes in the previous episode to this one where they're just like, go in on him, I guess. Like, Not a lot of like intention going on here.
Yeah, I don't think with the two of them, with Ricky and Melvin, I do not think they were necessarily there to win. I think they were there for the charity aspect of it. They were there for that mostly. So they're like, let's have the most fun we can have. And they're buddies, so like they get along well. It was just hanging out with your friend and, you know, cracking wise. So I think ultimately they just made the most of whatever time they had in there.
Well, this couldn't have been better timed. Because right as Big Nasty and Will I Am are engaged in a battle of words, they are now going to be engaged in a battle of raps, as they are both going to be in a rap battle, and they have to come up with a rap, come up with some kind of lines to talk about. Any random sort of picture that they're shown. And this was great, especially because it's two celebrities battling in a rap battle who are pretending to both be rappers, mm-hmm. one of which is actually a rapper, the others not rappers, but they're both pretending to be different rappers, and they're doing a rap battle to a crowd of non-rappers or musicians, and the judges are only seeing the text and not the actual performance.
Like, and I think that was my biggest thing with this, because let's just put this out there. This was probably the best on reality TV rap segment I've seen in a while. Yes. Shots fired at BB Camp. However, I think, Taryn, the whole, like, it's just text. They don't have a background beat to, like, read the text out to. It's hard, because unless you can get the spacings right, it's very hard for them to see where does this line end, where does this begin, especially if you were going down the Big Nasty route of not necessarily rhyming everything. Yeah. You were going to be in trouble with a non-rap community here. So it was a bit of a struggle to get through. It was a fun bout, though, for sure.
Yes, and just like listening to the other players reading out the raps, in like completely different cadences and like rhythms and like clearly not getting what was intended was very funny. And the idea that these two like television radio presenters who have never rapped before in their lives are pretending to be Will I Am, and then the other players are like, yeah, that sounds like Will I Am, actually. And then Lady Leisure, who's like a real rapper, just trying to spit some bars, is getting trashed because she didn't rhyme her lyrics.
That's the thing, is I think a lot of people recognize rap as a bit of, you know, you got to have the rhyme there. It's not necessarily needed, but mm-hmm. that also depends a lot on what the beat is and how that plays off the beat. Because if the beat lets you get away with it, you're fine. So that was a bit of a struggle. I do think Will I Am's decision to kind of go the diss track route and throw shots at Big Nasty also helped.
Yeah,
I think that was a good way to go about it as well for them as far as strategy goes.
Yeah, it was very funny. To be clear, I mean, I'm pretty sure most people feel the same way, but like Lady Leisure's were so much better. Like I thought she crushed this. But I knew immediately when Ricky and Melvin had rhymed their first one, I was like, oh, they're gonna win this one. Just because it rhymed and it's coming through via text. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, but now she knows. Now she knows that she just needs to like dumb it down for the audience. And then she won the second one. I was like, okay, there you go. And I actually thought her third one was the best one she did, but it was all in the performance of it. Mm-hmm. And it just unfortunately doesn't translate via text.
Yeah, and I was trying to think what would have been, like, could there have been a method? Because we've seen in season two of The Circle UK where there was a dancing challenge and they got someone a suit that kind of, like, would animate their movements on the screen without necessarily giving away their body type or anything. But they would have had to modulize their voices, and then maybe, especially with Big Nasty being a grime MC, it's not easy to replicate that. So she might have been caught up there. Because I was trying to figure out if there was a way to get away with changing that up to have that be there. Ultimately, it was all for naught, but it was a close bout. It was a 3-rounder, 2-1. By what a 2-1, the winner was Will I Am, which I think is fine. Ultimately, with these challenges, they're just for fun. But I do agree that Lady Leisure's last one was the strongest of the six that they did. So it was a shame to see Big Nasty take an L, but it happened.
Yes, she did screw up, though, again, with the bake-off person. And this is to a point that you brought up before, too, where she has these like gender stereotypes, I think, in her head, where she was mm-hmm. like, she read in Big Nasty's book that Prue Leith,
yeah,
it was like judging the bakery, I don't know, whatever it is, the pastry, and she was like, oh, that sounds like that must be the guy there. He looks like the boss. And so it's again, we're just like, don't even put a pronoun in there if you don't know which gender to choose. Like you could have just put, you know, pure leaf. Don't put the, you know, he. Just change it around a little bit. But of course, Prue Leaf turns out to be a woman.
Yeah. I think that if you wanted to go out of your way to name drop of like, hey, I know the person in the picture, because I think that would have been brownie points. You could have just rhymed Prue with crew with something else. Like you would have been fine. You would have been fine to do that. But I think, again, we go back to this conversation of these. There are moments in your text where you can easily just omit something and get away with it without anyone questioning you any further. So by doing a little bit too much, you get caught. And she got caught with the Prue Leith there, which was unfortunate.
Yeah. You don't have any of the raps written down, do you?
I tell you, I wish I did. I did not transcribe them. No. I remember the first one started with a bake-off, stand-off, fake-off. Like it was all a lot of off-rhyming.
Yeah, but the bake-off, cake-off.
Bake-off, cake-off, and then it was face-off. So there was the three there. No, I do not have them written down, sadly. I mostly remember Will.i.am's one, but that's because they were basic. It was like, you know, where the sun, because we're not cold, stuff like that. Nah, easy pickings. But no, I do not have them, sadly. Why, were you going to read them to us? I would have tried to track them down if I could have. Well, you were going to do a live
We were asked to read them out, and I was like, oh, this could be fun. No, I did not transcribe them either. And I just did a cursory Google search, and nothing came up, unfortunately.
We'll keep an eye for the next, for season three, if anyone raps, I'll write all the lyrics down for,
okay,
for
good.
Everybody. Yeah.
All right. So we then get to our next round of ratings, and this is what Rachel Riley has been working toward for a while now. Is they've accumulated allies. They've got Kim, they've got Saffron, they've got Denise. The women are on board with Rachel Riley, and it's time to make a play.
Yeah, and I think this is kind of, you know, they've had this build up. They're in a good spot. I thought, no doubt in my head, when we parted ways after the last podcast, that Rachel and Denise were going to end up being on top. I just felt very good about their placement in the game, felt very good about how everyone else felt about them. So my biggest question going into this rating wasn't necessarily who's the influencer. It was who's going to be in the bottom, and specifically which people are going to be in the bottom. I was genuinely surprised on who became like the seventh place and who was sixth. I did not think that Will.i.am was going to be the worst of the worst here. I didn't.
I think, again, it was they just went in for the kill, trying to kick Big Nasty when he was down. And there's something to be said. It doesn't happen often enough in society, but there's something to be said for, I got that one wrong, guys. I'm so sorry. You know, and not being like, no, I was right, but though, we get the ratings. After the ratings, we get a little scene here just to set up what's going to happen, where Denise is going to go on a catfish hunt once again, and she's going to quiz Kim about some cleaning tips.
Which is Denise's fun. Detective Denise is literally, no one has done it as good as she's done it. This was perfect. I mean, it's very obvious what she's doing when she comes into your DMs to ask you this. Like, I think Kim, aka Baga, knew exactly what was happening. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I'm being tested. Let me give out this answer. But I thought Baga answer, because I don't know anything about cleaning like that. If Baga had said what Baga said, I would have been like, maybe. Okay. I don't know about crumpled newspaper. I thought that was a choice, but then again, I'm not smart like that. I would have said all purpose cleaning and like a paper towel and you're fine. And that would have been a mistake. So I like what Denise does. I really enjoy Denise's game. Denise is definitely out there to be the catfish hunter first and then everything else second.
Yeah. This was a tough one. You know, I think if you don't know the answer to this question, you're just going to be in trouble. I think that actually Baga's response being something kind of like weird and obscure, like take a newspaper, was actually probably their best shot, because obviously Baga didn't know the actual answer. And so the only chance, I think, at that point is to come up with some weird kind of like, oh, this is like a homebrew, you know, old person tip, right? Like, this might not be the official way to do it, but this is how I've done it for 60 years with a newspaper, old school. It did not work. It did not work. She needed to say it was vinegar. Vinegar is how you do it.
Exactly. I think it was a combination of not putting the right ingredient in the answer. And I think then hamming up the caricature old lady persona that I think a lot of people were like sketched out by, of like, it's too much of like the, I'm writing this like I'm writing a letter with quill, like love Kim. Like, I don't need love Kim at the end of every message. I don't need love at the beginning of every message. I think a lot of that as well was not going to be great for Kim in the long run. And it was catching up to Kim little by little.
Yeah. So we're going to get the results of the ratings. And down at the bottom, as we mentioned, was Will.i.am. Will.i.am down at the bottom. kicking someone while they're down. Then it was Big Nasty. Then Peter Andre, just chilling,
just coasting.
Then Saffron, below Kim. Kim made third place. And
yeah,
what a difference this could have made here, because it's going to be Kim, and then Denise and Rachel are the top two. They are going to become the influencers. Rachel was in first. Denise was in second. This is such a big deal, I think, for Rachel. Now, I could be wrong. I believe that Rachel put Saffron as number one. It was either Saffron or no. Was it Kim?
Denise put Peter first.
Rachel. Rachel. Who did Rachel put?
Rachel put, I do not have, oh, Rachel put Kim first. Rachel put Kim first, yes.
Which I think was the right call. I think both Kim and Saffron would have been down to be strategic and be like, yes, let's keep the women together. And like, let's, you know, work something out. And the fact that it was Denise in there with Rachel was actually, I thought, pretty bad for Rachel, because Denise is all about finding the catfish. And so when Rachel is talking with Denise up in the influencer lounge, whatever it is, she's like, hey, let's keep the women together. We stick to alliance. And Denise is like, what is this alliance word that you're talking about? I don't play like that. I like men just as much as women. This is about who's a catfish. What does this have to do with catfish?
Yeah, we've talked about this where like there's different types of players. Denise is definitely kind of in the Woody role of this season, where she was like, I'm just focused on the catfish stuff. Anything else that's happening, if it's convenient to me, that's fine. I'm the influencer now. It doesn't matter. The whole alliance thing doesn't matter. I think she, you know, she wanted to be firm on like, I'm not about to take someone out because they're a man. I'm all about equality. But most important of all, I need the catfishes to be gone. And obviously, we had just seen this clip of Kim fumbling in front of Denise. So I think that was fresh on Denise's mind as well. And it was very funny, though, watching the two of them kind of, you know, swim around each other, trying to like feel each other out of like, hey, are you gonna do this? Oh, I think you're aligned with this person. Oh, and I think you're aligned with this person. So I think that because what happened was, with regards to Rachel, Rachel floats the idea of, hey, Peter, you know, Peter, well, I am Big Nasty, the men. And there was some pushback on Peter from Denise, which I think set some alarms off on Rachel.
Yeah. And so I feel like this is where Rachel started to falter strategically. They approached Denise, I think, in the wrong way, trying to make the alliance, where Denise has always been so about catfish. And it's been Kim and it's been Saffron that have talked to Rachel about like, let's watch each other's backs. I'll look out for you because you looked out for me. It's with Denise, it's always been about what other catfish can we find, right? And so they approached in the wrong way. Didn't work out. Then I felt like the approach here was off as well, where they're like, okay, you know, she's not going to go for Peter Andre. That's fine. We just need to make sure we take out people that won't vote us high, right? So I feel like they had to get out, at least one of Will.i.am or Big Nasty. Big Nasty, I think, fine to keep around, but you have to get out Will.i.am. Taking out Peter Andre doesn't do much for you. And more importantly, you have to protect Kim, I think. I think that, you know, so basically this debate goes where, Denise starts saying that she feels like Kim is a little shaky, possibly a catfish. And Rachel tries to be like, nah, I don't know. Why do you think that? Oh, I trust your judgment. What about Peter? And then Denise is like, oh no, Peter's genuine for sure. And so Rachel's kind of like, Denise is playing us. Like, Denise is stonewalling us. She's playing a game and she's aligned with Peter. And so they ultimately come to the conclusion that the right call here is to just do a trade-off, where they each take out each other's supposed allies. And this is a terrible call for both of them.
Yeah, I think the hitting a compromise by saying, hey, let's each pick one and deal with the consequences, It's like you're almost at the end. It's a you're getting rid of two and one. That's a great deal for you. Get this done now. I thought this was a mistake for sure as well. I did like Rachel stating that, listen, we also think Kim could be a catfish, but we don't care. We don't care. It's good for our game to keep, which I think I wish Denise would have had that idea of like, listen, maybe they're a catfish, but maybe they're also good for me. So ultimately, by saying, let's just compromise and each pick one, they each ended up picking each other's allies to get rid of. I think for strategic reasons, pretty much, because I think also at this point, especially Rachel knows that Denise is our biggest competition going into the end here. So if she's going to take someone that we like out, we got to take someone that she feels good with out as well, which ultimately keeps the bottom two in without even a wonder.
Yeah. And I think, I feel like the logic was off. First of all, it was a misread. Peter was not an ally of Denise.
Not in the way they thought.
Yeah, exactly. She just genuinely thought that Peter was genuine. Mm-hmm. And second, Denise is not Rachel's biggest competition. Denise is not as well liked as Rachel. And even if she was, Denise being supposedly well liked is good for Rachel because it will help. It's another person that people will feel the need to rank lower in the final ratings, right? This is essentially mutually assured destruction. They're just taking out each other's allies. Now both of them are going to lose this game. Essentially, I really felt like this was a huge mistake for both players here. But ultimately, Denise is going to choose to take out Kim, and Rachel is going to choose to take out Peter. And you got to do it face to face.
I love a good face to face elimination, and to get two and one, it was a great way to get the episode going. So which one do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about Kim or do you want to talk about Peter?
Well, we saw Peter first, right? I feel like that's the first one we saw.
Let me see. Yes, we did see Peter first.
So we can talk about Peter. So I believe that all three of these people, the real people, were all on like similar shows, right? Pete and Sam were, on like the only way is Essex, Made in Chelsea, yeah. And Charlotte is from Geordie Shore. So like they're all in the similar sort of range of shows. They seem
big
to like
party cast. Yeah, that kind of reality show. They did know each other. Yeah, they do roam the same circles. They're about they come around from the same years. It doesn't go without mentioning, but like the UK reality TV scene is very popular and very big. So a lot of these people cross paths all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, it's Charlotte. Like, you were so boring. It's like, I know I was trying to be boring like Peter.
I love this exchange. I love this exchange because they were like, it was one of those things where it was very clear. If they knew it was Charlotte, they would have kept Peter. That's genuinely how I felt. If they even had an inkling that it was her, that wasn't going to happen. I like the information that Peter gives up is, which I think ends up mattering a lot here, is with Chest, Charlotte said, Big Nasty's 100% real. 100% real. Big Nasty said this one thing that only Big Nasty would know to me. And I know that Big Nasty is 100% real, which I really do think was like the only thing that Rachel has now taking in that was false information that they were going to work poorly with.
Yep. And this comes from that guess about the show that was worked on where Big Nasty was like, oh yeah, like this person, I don't remember exactly what the conversation was, but it was just kind of like a lucky guess. And that sort of confirmed to Charlotte, AKA Pete, that Big Nasty was real, but he was not real. And so I don't think this is really going to matter all that much, but it was definitely funny.
Yeah, and I did enjoy this very much. And then Peter's lasting information was Denise and Saffron are 100% them, which was, more confirmation for them. That's good. Because that's the thing is that if someone comes in with you and is sharing everything that you share as the same idea, and then they have one thing different, you might start considering it because, well, they're literally doing everything I'm doing. They have one little bit of the formula different. I wonder if that's the true one and we're in the wrong. So I think that worked out against them, but it worked out in the fact that they trust Peter. So that was a good thing for Peter ultimately.
Mm-hmm. And then we're going to see that Denise is going to go block Kim, aka Bag of Chips. And she's like, oh, you even have like a bunch of cleaning stuff all over the place. And Bag of Chips is like, yeah, I haven't even touched it.
Yeah, I think Baga would have done. So Baga, I thought, so I know that Baga knows Kim, like properly knows Kim, uses her cadence in the accent perfectly, like does a good impression of Kim. I think ultimately Baga's big like fallback or big drawback was that doing it over text did not allow her to use her strengths in knowing the person she was portraying. I think that was the biggest place where she went wrong, because she was someone that was probably going to rely more on the personality side of knowing Kim than the informational side of knowing Kim, which I think someone like Pete and Sam focused a lot on the information they knew about Rachel, which definitely helped them in the long run.
Yeah, I think the mistake here was in assuming that sounding like the person talks would translate to how the person texts. You can't transcribe how somebody speaks and expect it to come across correctly, because people don't type how they speak all the time. They, you know, if somebody says, you know, whatever it is, like my pretty, I remember what it was, my pretty, they're not going to type it out every time like that. Just because that's a tick in their speech doesn't mean it's going to be present in their typing. And so I think that's what really came across as fake here with Baga. And I think we said this last time, but I do feel like Bag of Chips would have been better used as themselves.
Bag of Chips doing Bag of Chips would have definitely, in my opinion, gone Bag of further, because Bag is just a fun big energy person. So I think that would have worked out way better. And ultimately, yeah, there are a lot of things we say in speech that are ad libs to add more, it's like seasoning to the conversation, but they don't necessarily translate. That's what emojis are for in text. Those are the ad libs. You remove some of these words, you just add the emojis in. So ultimately it was fun to see Bag on the screen, and I did enjoy her portrayal of Kim for the short time that we got it.
Yeah. So we're then going to get to we've reached the final five. This is it. There's no more blockings. You are now the final five. All of you will be rating. I feel like Rachel has played the best game to this point easily, but classic mistake in the circle is going out on top. Rachel worked so hard to obtain this influencer spot. And there could be value in that. If you feel like you have a crew that will rate you highly in the end, despite the fact that it might not be in their best interest, then protecting that crew and getting rid of the people that will downrate you, is valuable. And so, especially in a spot where you've got a double blocking, you really have to use that to its fullest potential. And like I said, I feel like they completely botched that choice. And so not only did they take out the wrong people in the end, they ended up losing one of their allies and a neutral party. They also now look like the biggest threat on the board heading into the final ratings. And that is not great.
Yeah, that's a great game to play if you believe, and if it does happen, where the finalists all vote and rate the way they felt, right? So if everyone still likes you, everyone's still going to give you the first place, you will win. Good game. However, what we've been seeing with multiple versions of the circle is that once you get to that like the finalist list, I think the best place you are is within an alliance, but then also like the other side kind of rates you as not the worst of the like three people on the other side. So you end up getting their higher ratings and then your team rates you highly. But then if everyone's going strategic, the place you don't want to be is in the first, like in the influencer spots before the final rating. I think that's where if people are going to start tanking to like get themselves up, you're going to get tanked. So I don't love that. And then obviously we'll talk about the award ceremony, which I think kind of faltered their game as well a little bit, just by making one answer the way they shouldn't have done it.
Yes. And I think really like the biggest thing in the circle is trying to deduce which players will rate based on who they actually like in the end, and which will rate based on strategy. And I think that something that that, you know, like, we weren't really thinking about the finals at the time, but the fact that that Big Nasty is willing to all cap Saffron over and over tells me as a player, Big Nasty is not going to be strategic. Big Nasty is going to vote on who they like best. And so I did really like that Rachel, after talking with Peter, goes to Big Nasty and plays nice and is like, hey, Peter told me you're 100% genuine. Let's work together and try to figure out, you know, who the other catfish are. I thought that was definitely well played at this point. But unfortunately for Rachel, that the rest of the players are not going to feel the rest of the players are going to be voting strategically, and they are going out on top of the rankings, and that's not going to be a good place.
Yeah, at least they can hold their hat to the fact that getting first isn't easy. So even if you get first once, that's a pretty cool thing to have. So good on you for having that. Good on you for playing the game. And I do think that talking to, again, we talked about this a couple times now, but if you go to the person who was in last place and you show them that, hey, I'm not going to ostracize you. I'm still in this. You're still in this. I think that does a lot for you, because if other people still continue to put them down, their ratings are still up for grabs. If you can get their first place rating, that is not a bad play for you at all.
Mm-hmm. So we have they call them the Circle Goldies or something.
There are no Terran Awards, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just going to vote on different categories. For the most part, these were fine. Like best performance goes to Will.i.am. A few other things that are pretty basic. Who's most likely to be your friend, like stay friends with after the show, was a big question here. And this is where Rachel decides to go with Denise. Denise goes with Rachel. Rachel and Denise are joint winners because Saffron went with Rachel. And I think I don't remember who went with Denise.
Will.i.am picked Denise.
Right. There you go. Joint winners. Denise is very pleased with that. Then in the following round, it's who is the most genuine, who's the most, like, this is the person who is most likely to be them. And this is what you were talking about, I believe, when Rachel decides to go, you know what, we gave one to Rachel, or we gave one to Denise. Mm-hmm. This one we'll give to Saffron. Denise did not take that very kindly.
Of all the things you've learned about Denise during your time, and I'm speaking specifically from when you entered these apartments, because you probably know Denise outside of this game, Denise is the catfish hunter. Denise is looking for the most authentic people to get to the end. Denise prides herself on being authentic. So giving her this award would have been better. By the way, let me correct myself. I said, Will.i.am pick Denise? That was for this category, for most genuine. Will.i.am pick Big Nasty in the last one. Rachel and Nasty pick Denise in the last one.
Damn.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think that this was the biggest fumble. If they had picked the friend one, even as Saffron, that might have still gotten them better, because this meant more to Denise. Like, to Denise, this was winning best picture to Denise, and the other one's like best lighting. She'd rather get best picture. She would much rather get best picture. So to get snubbed here definitely hurt her for sure.
Yes. I also feel like, at least a little bit, there's something that I notice in the circle, which is that the people that come in as themselves tend to feel like they're a little bit better than the people who come in as catfish. And they tend to be a little bit more hesitant to play a strategic game. And they focus on finding out who the liars and catfish are. And I think that I sometimes notice that, they want to be strategic in the final vote. And sometimes they look for excuses for why they are being strategic. Oh, well, I was going to put my best friend all game as number one, but I don't know. It feels like maybe they're playing a game a little bit, so I'm going to have to play a game myself, I guess. I just, it's in retaliation, of course. Sorry. You know, I feel like that happened.
I think we've seen it on previous seasons now where, you know, someone will come through and they're playing themselves and you're like, oh my God, I've never seen this character before. This is compelling. This is awesome. This is fun. And then at some point in the season, they kind of go stagnant. And then I start souring on them because they do come off a little bit self-righteous. Now with Denise, I don't think, obviously the show was not long enough for us to see that side if that was where it was going, but that is a very good point to put out there. When someone comes in as themselves, they think they're putting them, so they're exposing themselves to the nation, to the world. And by you hiding behind another identity, you are not doing the same thing. So you're not going through the same transformation. So you are not going through the same journey that they are. So they definitely put themselves up on that pedestal just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That's going to lead us into the final ratings as we come in here. We kind of do like a quick little montage. I feel like we didn't really learn much from these, from what people were saying. I felt like this is very much like we're not going to tell you anything here.
Yeah. I didn't really take notes because I was like, you're giving me not much here. And I think pausing, all I'm going to hear is like, all right, yeah, Saffron, but you're not going to tell me what ranking. So like, it doesn't matter. You just like said noises out loud.
Yes. All right. So, we will come back around to the ratings as we go over the ultimate winner of the season. But before that, we have the reveal where we finally get the reveal. I thought this was, in comparison to all of the circle reveals that I've seen, this one felt probably the most lackluster to me.
Agreed.
And I think part of it is because they know each other. Yeah. And there are too many duos, too many pairs. It's not as impactful when there's a pair of people that walk in my opinion. And so overall it was like a little we see the Denise and Rachel one was should have been the biggest reaction, but it was just kind of like, who are you? Oh, we're Rachel. And then that was kind of it.
The best part of the whole dinner reveal was anyone complimenting Rachel and then Sam getting excited, looking over at people like, see, we did it. We were good.
these two were just so much fun to watch, Pete and Sam, every single person was like, yeah, we thought Rachel was like, you tricked us so well. And then they would say things like a little bit later, somebody's going to be like, oh yeah, Rachel just played it under the radar. And Sam was, we did play it under the radar. That's what we were saying. He's just so excitable. It was very fun.
Yeah, Sam definitely, you could tell they had won just by hoodwinking people. I think he was very proud of himself for getting that done. And then on the other side, Pete was just happy to be done with Sam. He was very excited to be done with the experiment. So that was great to see. We did not have the same fireworks as the last two seasons of the UK circle, I don't think. But also in those two, I feel like there were big bombshell reveals of like, oh, you are not what I was expecting. Whereas here it's like, well, you're still a celebrity that I know. So that does kind of, you know, give you a soft landing of even if I didn't expect you to be who you are, that's not a thing. However, I think the most impressive thing in this dinner, Taryn, was that Denise, out the gate, she puts it on the wrong person. She says Nasty is. But the fact that she was able to name Ricky and Melvin right before they came out as Will I Am was insane to me. That she was able to name them like that. She's just so good.
And it was very funny to see Ricky and Melvin walk in and then they're like, oh my God, they were playing Big Nasty. Mm-hmm. and like, no, we were Will I Am. Like, wait, what?
Yeah, they were just, they had believed themselves before. So when they came in, they did not listen to what they said. Well, I am, a couple times before it sunk in. So that was fun to see. I think that was my favorite part of the dinner, because otherwise it was kind of samey, not much going on. I think them seeing Lady Lashur come out at the end instead of Big Nasty was a bit of more of a exciting thing going on there. But even that wasn't that big. I mean, I think you go back to the big reveals, and I really want to like reference them, but I also don't, in case someone is going to go back and watch The Circle and hasn't yet, because I don't want to rob them of that experience that I got. So just go watch The Circle UK season 1 and 2, and then we'll talk later.
Yeah. I feel like with the reveals, there are a few different kinds of like ways that people react, where it's like one reaction is like, I'm pissed. Which is entertaining, but a little uncomfortable, but entertaining. Awkward. But like, why are you so pissed? But it's entertaining. Then there's the other reaction, which is like, oh, I'm so embarrassed that I got this wrong. And that is also entertaining, except people try to hide it. Like, they're not like, oh my God, I can't believe it. They're like, oh. And they're just like internalizing all of it and being like, well, that's embarrassing, I'm just not going to react. And it's like, no, react. We want to see the reaction.
That's all I'm here for. That's all I really want, is that. Yeah. And like, as someone who's been watching The Masked Singer, I live for a good unmasking, a good reveal, and then have everyone be like shocked. So when I don't get that, I'm upset. But also, it's just the way people are going to react to things. Like, some people don't want to be seem like they were played, right? And then some people can't help themselves but to feel all of it in that very moment. I know which one I'd prefer to see and which one I'd prefer to feel.
Yeah,
they're not the same.
So we're then going to get this like a little mini reunion, which I thought was fine. I thought, you know, we got some decent clips here and there. I thought the best clips, and still I think my favorite moments, through the whole series, was the corrections of like, no, I, not we. They should have done a whole montage of that, because I loved that.
That was, yeah, I have in my notes, my steps so far. It was great. I did enjoy that. I think they did. They put two clip shows, like two montages. One was of Denise being a detective. One was of Rachel being very much like panicky. And they were the best parts of the show for me. They were. And I want to give a special honorable mention to Ricky and Melvin for just, you know, just being chill, just having fun. Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. All right. And then we get to the winner, the final results. Who is going to win the circle, the celebrity circle? In last place, Will.i.am. Will.i.am in fifth place. Yes. And they're like, oh, well.
See you guys. Yeah. I love that when they get revealed, they have to leave the big couch.
Off the couch, guys.
Yeah.
In with the other losers.
Yeah, go to the bar stools.
In joint third. Oh, is that what that means?
Yeah, who said that, dude? Did you catch who said that?
I thought it was Saffron. But oh my God. Yeah. So
Saffron's like, wow, three people came fifth. Nothing unique about that.
In joint third, and what a way for them both to go after that mistake as the influencers. Denise and Rachel tied for third.
There you go. That is what strategic play does to you when you've been doing really well in the game otherwise. Because I think, especially if someone's trying to grasp at the strategy with five people left, what you know for sure is going to happen is that the bottom person is going to probably be rated higher and the top person is going to be rated dead last, no matter what is going on with their own rankings. Because like, you're trying to figure out where you would land and where you want to go. So naturally, it made complete sense to me that Rachel and Denise would end up being somewhere closer to the middle / bottom.
And so the top two, Saffron and Big Nasty. This was kind of a sweet moment where Lady Leisha was like, genuinely, I hope you win, because you were yourself the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't deserve it. And you can tell she just feels so bad that she doubted this perfect girl.
Yeah, I mean, Saffron was delightful, right? She was never, she literally played a very middle game, didn't do much, didn't make a lot of ripples on TV either, but she was playing her genuine self. And I think if you're Lady Leisha, especially we've seen with these catfishes, once they meet people in person, they kind of do feel bad for a lot of the hoodwinking they've done. And I think with Lady Leisha, she's watched herself be wrong and wrong and wrong on so many takes. She's like, I genuinely don't want this, Saffron. I came after you. I feel so bad. Please just take the money, take the win, and I'll be happy. I genuinely will be, which I did like from her. I love seeing that.
Mm-hmm. We get the final results here. And I do think that Saffron played it pretty well in that, like, she was able to stay safe throughout and also stay under the radar. That people probably thought she was an easy person to give a higher rating to in the end. And that's how she got second place. I think Saffron probably played the best winning game this season, where Rachel played the best kind of like overall sort of like in like stay, survive and make it to the end and have a shot to win game. And then we have Lady Leisha, who was just very fun, I guess. Wasn't exactly playing a game, but a dominant win here for Big Nasty, as Lady Leisha will take the crown for the Circle, the Celebrity Circle UK. I don't know if you've seen this, the actual ratings here, but somebody sent me these.
Amazing.
Yes.
I scoured for them. I couldn't find them. So I'm glad you did.
I can't verify their that they are genuine necessarily. Okay. But they seem to make some amount of sense, I think.
All right, let's talk about them.
So according to what I have here, every single person put Big Nasty as their number one rating on the board.
This is strategic gameplay. This is, we're going to tank other people and assume that no one else is going to do the exact same thing we're doing. And it didn't work out for them. It didn't work out for them. It worked out for Big Nasty, which honestly then leads the conversation to, should they have just taken out Will.i.am and Big Nasty so that the ratings would have been more ambiguous and harder to read at the final five? Do you think this made it a little bit too easy for them to have? Well, we know Big Nasty is going to be first in our ratings. Do you think that would have changed something?
For me, I feel like I think I would like it if they allowed the players to strategize their final ratings, like allow them to talk them out with their allies and with the other players and be like, hey, you know, what are you thinking for your final ratings? And you know, if you put me top, I'll put you top. Like, you know, just kind of like be able to feel the other players out so that, like, if they're lying to you and they're pretending that they'll put it, you know, based on who they like, but really they're going to be strategic, then at least then it's like, okay, I feel like they're lying to me. I think they're going to be strategic. And based on what they're telling me, I have a feeling they might put Big Nasty first. So I need to not put Big Nasty. I feel like it adds a lot more control or at least like options for control over these final votes, where like, it really does feel like the Circle is just a complete crapshoot at the end for like who's going to rate strategically, who's going to not rate strategically. If you are rating strategically, what level are you on in terms of like, okay, so everyone hates Big Nasty, I'll put Big Nasty first. Wait, but that means that if other people are thinking strategically, that they'll all put Big Nasty first. So I'll put Big Nasty last. But if everyone's thinking that I'm thinking about what everyone else is thinking, then they'll put Big Nasty last. So I'll have to put him first. That is the concern. I think that it can be very random. And I think that allowing them to actually talk and strategize, while I know it's not really like what they like to do in the UK, I think it would not only help create sort of like, not that like, I mean, I actually love that Lady Leisha won. I really was enjoying her by the end. But like, I think it would help create an end game that felt a little less random.
I think especially the emergent gameplay, I believe, has originated and is clearly stayed in the UK, whereas in watching the US, I didn't find that it had the exact same impact on ratings. Maybe one or two people, not most of the cast did not follow. It's funny because I think most of the cast was more of a UK mindset in the US edition. But it's interesting because I do think with the last couple of seasons now, with this one and season two, I do find that it at the end, it did get a little bit random. But for this game, it was amazingly comical because it's a shorter season. It's celebrities. I would argue that Lady Leisha had probably the worst reads in the game. So for her to end up at the end and win was phenomenal. It was a great result. It was good comedy. So, and like, I didn't necessarily have a horse in the race here. I didn't like grow an attachment to a player because it was like a quick six episodes. So it worked out fine. But I do think that there needs to be some kind of consideration, maybe getting a deliberation round going of some sort where people can either talk in like their individual things, or if they have to have like a bit of a round table in a circle chat before they end off, just to give them more thinking about it, and then put some more panic into them. Because if you just tell everyone to blindly start the test, they're gonna write the test out almost the exact same, which is let's tank the good ones and up the best, the test tank the really good players and then put up the really worst players, and then that way someone in the middle will most likely win. In this instance, the person in last won. So it's fascinating to think about how they would have to figure that out to fix it, but it is fun because it's unlike any other, you know, show that we watch. So
yeah. Based on what I'm seeing, and I did see somebody in the chat say that this was released officially, but I couldn't find it anywhere else either personally. Based on what I'm seeing, Lady Leisha as Big Nasty put Rachel as number one, put Saffron as number two, Will I Am as number three, and Denise at number four. Saffron had Big Nasty number one, Will I Am number two, Denise number three, Rachel number four. So full on as strategic as can be, or at least so she thought, right? Denise had Big Nasty number one, Saffron number two, Rachel number three, Will I Am number four. So her ratings actually were straight across the board correct in terms of the ultimate outcome. Yeah. Then Rachel had Big Nasty number one, Denise number two, Saffron number three, and Will I Am number four. So that was actually like, that was one of those things where they were like, okay. And really, like, if they had flipped this, that was nearly perfect, right? I think they basically chose between Will I Am and Big Nasty, which one of them we're going to put at the top, then our allies in the middle, then the other one at the bottom. So if they had put Nasty fourth, Will I Am first, this would have been a perfect ranking. Not so.
It's funny because like my idea of, well, wouldn't you want to eliminate one of them? But then they didn't, they had two, right? So my thought even would have been, they might've been confused. Like half of them would have done Will I Am, half would have done Big Nasty, but somehow everyone picked the same bottom person to put on top, which is wild to think about. Like four other people all had the same idea between the two and picked Big Nasty is to put number one. It's something to think about.
I think what it is that they all remembered the all cap Saffron. But then also, like, deep down, we're like, yeah, but I didn't like what Will I Am did afterward. And so they all were like, the big public thing that everyone discussed was Big Nasty Saffron. And so they're like, well, everyone else hates Big Nasty, so that's the one I'll do. And then I get to do my personal distaste of Will I Am down at the bottom. And I also think that there was part of it as well, I'm sure, that did perhaps come from Charlotte vouching for Big Nasty, where when that goes around and Rachel says, no, apparently Big Nasty's real. If you're choosing between somebody who's probably fake and somebody who's probably real, and it could go either way, you're going to suck up to the real one. You know what I mean? You're going to be like, Big Nasty, the real guy, I'm giving you first place.
And I think part of the people did not want to just award someone the Will I Am the top spot when I don't think anyone, I think this was the biggest problem, is most people were like, Will I Am wouldn't come on the show. So they kind of wrote it off in the beginning. So even if Ricky and Melvin did the best job of convincing them it's Will I Am, there was still that doubt from the beginning, like, Will I Am has better things to do than be here. So we're not going to, we kind of don't count that. So then if you really believe that, it's a question of, well, I don't know who could be behind this. Am I really rewarding? Maybe it's a friend of mine, but maybe it's someone I don't know. So it's like, you go with the devil you know in that case. So that kind of does make sense ultimately.
Yeah, a Scottish Survivor fan in the chat says, do the sequester date night twist before the final ratings. Just have them each like have pair up. You can only talk to one person at a time, but you ultimately end up talking to everyone. That would definitely be interesting.
It would shake it up a little bit, which I think is what we're asking for. Just shake up the recipe a little bit. Let's see how that goes.
So Will I Am also had accurate ratings here. Big Nasty number one, Saffron number two, Denise number three, and Rachel number four. So straight down in the line of how they placed, basically. And so, yeah, that was it. Rachel got 2 fourth places, 1 third place, and 1 first place. Denise got 2/3, 1/4, and a second. Saffron got 3 second places, 1 third place. And Will I Am got 2 fourths, 1/3, and 1/2. And then Big Nasty straight 1st places, which I believe is the most dominant win in the history of the circle.
The celebrities did more strategic rankings than any other season. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought? Now, my one question to you, Taryn, is if you're Ricky Melvin, if you're Will I Am, would it behoove you, because you know you're one of the bottom two, would it behoove you to put your rival bottom person first? I feel like for you specifically, you'd want to bring them down a little bit, right? I don't know.
The only way Will I Am wins is if people are playing strategically. And if people are playing strategically, then both him and Big Nasty will probably get bumps, right? And so... he does need to, like, theoretically, the other four players are going to split. They're going to put, half of them are going to put Will I Am at the top, half of them are going to put Big Nasty at the top. And so if you're Will I Am, you kind of do want to put Big Nasty down a little bit, because that'll give you a little bit of a boost. It is very difficult to ultimately deal with 4 other people and try to predict not only how will they vote, like will it be strategic or will it be personal? But then if it's strategic, what is it? If it's personal, what is it? If it's strategic, what is it? Then do they flip things based on their read after that? And trying to combine that for every single one of the other 4 people, so hard to do. I think one of the reasons why we saw this is that, like, in a normal game of the circle where there's 3 weeks of time to get to know people and, like, seed out the people that would be more strategic, and you can really, like, lock in, like, these are my loyal people, they will vote personally and they will vote for me. This was, like, just, 6 days or 7 days, whatever it was. And they're like, yeah, we don't care. These people are just going to be strategic.
Yeah, no, listen, at the end of the day, it made for a very fun viewing. It was a great kickoff show to the civilian season, which kicks off today. So I think ultimately we ended up being fed really nice with a nice serving of the circle, and we're going to get another one right away. And I'm happy. And then congratulations to Lady Alicia, AKA Big Nasty, who she lost her sister to breast cancer like in the last year, I believe. So this did mean a lot to her. Like, the charity they were playing for also meant a lot to her. So I'm glad that she gets a nice ending out of it. And everyone else was in good spirits. No one was upset. No one left the show feeling any type of sad way, which is always great. I do enjoy that as well.
For sure. Yeah. The fact that they were doing this for cancer, like, this is the most dedicated to the charity show that I think I've seen. That at every single commercial break, we had the people in the show talk. It was like a long, awkward sort of ask for money, where it was like, hey, you know, 1 in 2 people are affected by cancer in their lifetimes. Pause, silence, cut to the graphic to give 10, 20 or 30. Like, I can name it because it happened every time. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like this big flashy thing. And then, of course, on top of that, the stories that that they showed during the episodes. The first one in particular, just because I like that one took me off guard. Like, I was not expecting anything like that. Was like, this show was so much fun and it's so goofy and light that to like to switch to these stories that are just so awful was such an emotional roller coaster that you know, I like, on one hand, like I on all hands, I get it. Like, this was very effective in terms of like grabbing me and crushing my soul. On the other hand, I would have liked some kind of warning.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, with stories like this, because I watched the first episode live. I wasn't able to watch the rest of them live, but I watched it live. I didn't recognize that it wasn't in the middle of the adverts. So I did not. I was like, oh, okay, so this is still going on. So going, oh my God, what is happening? Oh my, like, and like, it starts you off like in a positive place and really takes you down to like a dark place. And obviously, this is a very informative way of both making people aware of what's going on, the realities of the situation, if you don't have anyone that's been impacted by stuff like this. And then in another way, it like, it kind of like reminds you of your blessing. So it is effective in what it's trying to tell you, but it is a bit of a shock to the system, especially when you're not expecting it. Now, obviously, as we got to the next episode, I knew that it was coming, and it was always we got six different stories. We did not get the same one at every episode. So it was a very impactful, and I do co-sign that. I've never seen any show really, really like incorporate the charity that they're working towards the way that The Circle did. Cause it was pretty much The Circle stand up to cancer. That's what they did advertise this as.
Yeah. And I like the message too. That was like, look, I know we've been dealing with like a pandemic for the last year, but like, and that's terrible. And, you know, we're working to fix that, but like, you know, let's not forget there's plenty of other stuff going on, and man, is cancer brutal. And so I did appreciate it. Was tough. I have multiple people, in my life that are luckily cancer survivors. But it is a tough thing to go through, and that's why it's so hard to watch.
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
So, I hope it was successful for them. The show at the very least, I know was successful. I think in terms of bringing it and being entertaining and really, really fun. So I'm very much looking forward to getting started with season 3 proper here, Puya.
Same. And I saw the bios. I just did a quick glance on everyone, like what the cast is made up of, like age, occupation. But I didn't want to dive in too deep because I wanted to also just start the first episode a little bit more fresh. So I can't wait for that to kickstart in about a couple hours here, not even that long from now. So
yeah,
I'm very, and I cannot wait. Season 3 is going to be incredible. Incredible.
Yeah. I like that it's like it's works for me that the show is basically every day, because I don't have time to watch any show but Big Brother right now. Right. So like to just like that's the show that I will put on while I eat. You know what I mean? like that's just the only show I'll be watching for the next month. Apart from Big Brother, of course.
It reminds me of the last time I went to Dubai to visit my family. Obviously, I'm on a big time difference there. Like the Big Brother 16 episodes were getting released at like midnight, but the BBUK episodes were usually on earlier. So while I was waiting for the BBUS episode, and I was a night owl, I remember having a tea every night around like 2 a.m. and just watching BBUK. And that was every night as well. So I do enjoy this kind of release schedule because it does, once it becomes a bit of a routine, it's easier to keep up with. So if it's every day but Saturday, that is a great play landing spot because I know I'm going to end up watching it. Whereas we've talked about with like Australian Survivor, it was 3 days a week, which is still fine. But then it was like an hour and a half a piece, which was like, all right, I'm watching a movie. If I miss one, I'm watching two movies in a day. It takes a lot out of you. And The Circle is just harmless fun. So yes, there's note taking for podcasting purposes, but also the notes aren't too demanding. So it's just good TV watching.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you then. Priya, any final thoughts, any final opinions here?
I think that I would like every other celebrity show to kind of strive to be in this spot where the cast comes to play. This was very fun cast. I did enjoy it. I do find that I'm enjoying UK celebrities more in these shows than I do the US counterparts, but that is fine. I can't wait for them to do a season two, and I'm very excited for season three of the civilian version. So,
all right,
that's it.
That is it. We will be back on Saturday to talk about the first four episodes of season three.
Right.
So just like we did the last Saturday talking about Celebrity, we'll be back to talk about what we have seen thus far at that point with The Circle UK season three proper, and look forward to that. It'll be very fun. I'm going to be back tonight with some Big Brother Canada 9 roundtable coverage. We're going to be rating the players and all of that stuff. I'm also live every morning to talk about the live feeds and after every episode. So you can always check me out there. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, playing some Fall Guys or Among Us or just hanging out, talking about Big Brother or The Circle or whatever. Talking about anything. You can find me there on Twitch. Puya, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter, Instagram, twitch.tv. It's Puyaism for all three. I also dabble in a little bit of the streamings two, three times a week, so you can check me out there. And of course, if you were looking for more content from my side, I will be back talking Masked Singer Season 5 with Liana Boris. That'll be going on the feed. And then if you were looking for more me and Taryn and then other friends such as Rob and Jenny, Jerp was on point last night on the Big Brother Canada recap episodes, so check that out as well. That was a great time. Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys once more for joining us today. And we'll see you next time.